I have some food for your soul. And you know what? If you don't get your necessary food, you will starve to death. And you need this. We need this. Wouldn't it be terrible to go through life wanting to serve God and stopping short of what God has made available to us and end up lost after having tried to serve Him? Something to think about anyhow. I think it's something worth thinking about. I mean, you know, people frivolously go about a lot of things. You know, people frivolously make decisions. They say, you know, I may do this or I may do that. But when it comes to living for God, we need to get serious about this. Now, I've had people tell me, I'm serious. I want only the truth. I want only the truth. I don't want anything but the truth. Then when you give them the truth, they go running looking for something that's not quite that strong. The truth is the truth. It'll either set you free or point out to you that you are in trouble. But it's not going to change because you don't like it. It's going to be there. What God is, He's always going to be. You know, you can study God through the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, and you will see this God of love is also a God who really, really means business. He's a God of love, and He's a God of great expectations. He wants you to listen to what He has to say, and He wants you and me to take Him seriously. Amen? Now, we hear the word gospel a lot, the word gospel. Tradition tries to brainwash people over centuries. The word gospel does not mean what most people think it means. Most people, most religions, almost everybody that tells you you need to believe the gospel, they think that the gospel is simply believing that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again, that Jesus shed His blood. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And that is good news. And that is gospel. But just believing that will not save you. And if you're trying to live for God based on the fact that you believe that and you're having a struggle, it's probably because you still don't have what it is that you're looking for that is still available. There is a real God who has presented a gospel that was not limited to the fact that He did shed His blood through Jesus Christ, but there was a reason why He shed His blood. And there's a reason why disciples followed Jesus, and there's a reason why Jesus chose those disciples to follow Him. And there is a reason why those disciples were taught of Jesus what they should teach others. And what they were going to teach would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. The dictionary definitions of gospel: the teachings of Jesus and the apostles, the Christian revelation. That's Webster's dictionary. Another definition: glad tidings, especially concerning salvation and the kingdom of God. Another dictionary definition of gospel: a doctrine. Everybody say doctrine.
Doctrine.
Gospel is a doctrine regarded as of prime importance.
Hallelujah.
There's more to it than what most people think. When you talk about the gospel, we're not talking just about believing something happened. We're talking about something that is taught and has to be received and has to be learned. One who will not be teachable cannot teach. Because you have to learn before you can teach. I know I may be boring today, but I'm going to tell you what I am saying will either save your soul or doom you to hell. Because I'm bringing you the unadulterated, infallible, cutting to the very quick of it all. Word of God that keeps our congregation small. And some say, I want the truth and I'm tired of living in lies. But yet they embrace a lie because they don't want this truth. But you see, this truth is just what it's always been. And it's always going to be. To talk about the apostolic doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, is to talk about the Word of God that we are commanded to preach. And the word, if I come across strong, you know, hit the pulpit, I try not to break it. But if I sound strong, it's because there is a resolve here that has been here for many years, not just me alone, but I'm talking about the ministry in general around the world, starting with Jesus Christ and the apostles. This is a straight, honest, perfect, pure, holy teaching of the Word of God that will either set you free or point out to you that you're living in error. And if we want to be saved, don't we want to be saved? Really saved? Or do we want to just play patty cake? Come up to a point and say, this is how much I'll take, that's how much I'll take. I'll limit God. I don't want any more than this. I just want to be able to have a good time and just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, sing my songs, jump around and talk good about Jesus. That's the good news. I don't want no more. I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to hear anymore. I just want to enjoy myself and teach others they can enjoy themselves and they can enjoy me. No, it's deeper than that. Another definition, gospel, something regarded as true and implicitly believed. Amen. And again, I say traditional religion has suggested that the gospel just simply means the good news. Well, I'll tell you what, the good news has some strong news in it. The good news is you can be saved and go to heaven, or if you don't listen to God, you're going to hell. The good news is when you get to heaven, there won't be any sinners there to rob you and kill you and threaten you and hurt you. There won't be any cussing going on over there. There won't be anybody up there having a fit to go smoke a cigarette. There won't be anybody trying to beat it out of the church to go get a beer. Now, I'm not, if you have, you know, some of these problems and habits, I'm not knocking you in any way. I'm just telling you that heaven is going to be a pure, clean, holy place. And all these worldly things and all these habits and all these addictions we may have picked up through the years, they're not welcome there. Heard a song years ago, it was very popular, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate, I just hate to make him wait, but I got to have another cigarette. Let me tell you something, Peter's not going to meet you at the gate. Tradition teaches you that, but not God. That's not the Word of God. And see, if you want to hang on to tradition and just live what tradition teaches, you might believe some of these lies, but it's a lie to believe that Peter is going to meet me at the Golden Gate and maybe I can talk Peter into letting me in. If you believe that, please stop listening to the lies of those who read the Word of God for you, because they don't always get it right. There is a Word of God for you that you can read for yourself. And it's always right. And God will actually come and teach you what He is saying. You know who's going to meet you before you ever get inside that gate? It'll be Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is the one, and He already knows whether you can get in or not. And you're not going to talk Him into letting you in. Praise God. You can say, Lord, I praised You. I sung and I shouted. I danced. I had a wonderful time. I did this. I did that. I gave glory and I gave honor to Your name. And I want to come on in. And He, you know, the Lord gave us in His Word the words that said, there'll be many in that day that say, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. We cast out devils in Your name. We did this and we did that in Your name. And the Word says, and He will say, Jesus will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So it is possible that we could actually go to church and think that we're being a blessing and be blessed and do all the things that people do when they're serving God and still end up because God requires some things. Wouldn't it be terrible to shout and praise God and sing songs and be faithful to go to church and end up hearing Him say, "I'm sorry. I never knew you." Now, isn't that in the Word of God? There are people who will say those things in the end. "I did this, I did that, Lord. I did all these things. I did all these things. What about me, Lord? Sorry." And look, at the end time, at that last moment, if Jesus says, "I'm sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me," there is no changing. You're not going to persuade Him to change His mind. It's going to be settled. So it's important that at this moment, while we're free, that we make the right decisions. You know, so I'm not bringing you a patty cake, let's play a game message today. It's time to get serious with God. Are you going to serve Him or not? Do you want Him or not? Do you want to serve Him in truth, or do you just want to play with Him? Do you want to come up with a salvation plan that'll make you feel good for a while? You can do that in a bar room. Go back to your whiskey and your drink, and that'll make you feel good for a while. If you want something to change your life, then you might have to go to a small church. Because not everybody's going to receive this. Not everybody's going to receive this. You see, because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. To believe that is a wonderful thing. It can change your life. It changed mine. How many of you can say it changed mine? When I believed that Jesus shed His blood for me, it changed my life. Because I saw some things in that caused me to want to change. And caused me to go into a direction where I would seek after God, pray after God, and ask God for deliverance. And so my life was changed at believing. Changed so much, I felt like God had saved me. And there are many who will teach and are teaching. That's all you have to do. Well, when I can read in the Bible, that's all you have to do, then I'll start saying amen to all people who say, that's all you have to do. Now, all Jesus had to do was shed His blood. But all you have to do may have some instructions that you need to read. And may have some preaching that you need to hear. The Word of God tells us that God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. That means it's possible to be a believer and still need to hear some preaching. Cornelius and his household in the 10th chapter of Acts were believers. Cornelius was a praying man. He was a powerful praying man. He was a strong man of God. He believed in God. His prayers went up as a memorial unto God. And with all this going on in his life, an angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius. And he said, "Your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have come up before God. Now I want you to send for a man by the name of Peter. And he's going to come and tell you what you ought to do." So here's a man praying always, giving always, loving God always, and still there's something he needs to do. Now, when we talk about these things, there's this religious crowd around the world that says, "Well, now that's doctrine." Well, so what? Anything that's taught is doctrine. Do you want the truth to be taught to you? Or do you want to believe a lie and perhaps be turned over to a reprobate mind and believe that till you die and be damned, according to the King James Version of the Bible? It gets pretty plain about it. You can go to the New Revised Version and get easier words, but oh my God. I talk about these things sometimes and people come up to me and say, "Why don't you preach something nice? Preach something that makes us feel good." You know what they're actually saying when they say that? "Preach something that I want to hear." You know what? You can go pay for a ticket and be entertained most anywhere in the world. They have people who play the music you want to hear. They have comedians that will make you laugh at their jokes, and you can hear them say the kind of stuff that tickles your innards, makes you feel good. You can pay for entertainment, or you can just find some of these coffee houses, and they'll entertain you. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good, but you can find entertainment. But if you're coming to church to be entertained, you may be in for a great awakening here. There's something deeper than entertainment going on in this place. And this is not a threat, and if I sound like I'm being mean, I don't mean to sound that way. You ain't heard nothing. You should have heard Paul's preaching in the early days of this church when we were in our very infancy 2,000 years ago. You should have heard Paul. I mean, he actually confronted devils face to face. There were people, when Paul would preach, it would stone him and leave him for dead. They didn't like his preaching. They'd beat him with sticks because he preached something they didn't want to hear. That's right. He was strong. And you know what he was preaching? The gospel. Everybody say the gospel. But he wasn't preaching the gospel just based on 2,000 years of tradition teaching us it's just the good news. He was preaching the gospel more defined by the dictionary that you can pick up and read for yourself, the teaching of Jesus and the apostles concerning the revelation that's in Jesus Christ, and the glad tidings, especially concerning salvation and the kingdom of God. Doctrines regarding prime importance things, such as political gospel or something regarded as true and implicitly believed. I believe Paul really did believe that what he was teaching was the truth, and he really did believe it. And he was telling you, you need to believe the same thing. Now, we read the writings of Paul, and he has instructions to the church. Isn't it amazing? People read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they love it. And I love it. But when they get to Acts, they say, let's skip that one. Because that's got some stuff in it I may not understand or may not want to agree with. Some stuff that I'd like to interpret my own way or listen to somebody else discuss it so I could choose whose interpretation I want to believe. Amen. If you get 1,000 interpretations and they're all not in the truth, you're still messed up. We need to get back to the Word of God. The Word of God takes care of itself. It explains what it means. It says what it means, and it means what it says. Praise God. When the people on the day of Pentecost asked the disciples of Jesus, the 120 people gathered together, all of them standing in one mind, in one accord, all of them having just received the Holy Spirit of God, rejoicing and praising God. It was as a rushing mighty wind that had filled all the place where they were sitting. It was so noisy that people from outside did as they do on Saturdays here, when we crank up the music and we're in here eating together. People come in sometimes just because they heard the sound in this place. And in the book of Acts, we read how these people of that city came gathering together wondering what this is that's going on over here. It was so noisy and so loud. So if you're going to a church somewhere that says you've got to be really, really quiet, because quietness is reverence, you may wonder why nobody ever visits your church. Because if you start getting loud and beating on a few drums and tambourines and yelling a little bit, you might get some attention. Or you might get kicked out wherever you're going. But when the people start making that noise and God starts blessing, and I tell you, I think I've been in on some of this where it was like a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the places where we were sitting. It was a noise that came from heaven, a sound that came from heaven. I've seen people with hands uplifted saying, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. Praising God so loud that sometimes people came running down the stairs to see what's going on in this place. That's what was going on in Jerusalem in an upper room when the city gathered together to say, what does it mean? What is this? These people are drunk with some kind of new wine. Peter standing up with the 11. These are 12 Jews standing together. When they did that, they were saying, we stand together in agreement, saying what our spokesman is saying. We're behind him. What he says is what we say. And the other 100 plus people standing behind them were also saying, Amen. Men and brethren, what does this mean? What is this all about? He talked to them about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He talked to them about the blood that was shed on Calvary. But he also reminded them that you were guilty of causing this to happen. And that blood is on your hands. And they were convicted in their hearts, pricked in their hearts. He didn't end up his message by saying, so now that I've gotten a little bit strong, I didn't mean to ruffle your feathers. If you'd like to get in on this, come and shake my hand. And let's be friends. Sign my card. Open your mouth and say, I confess, I confess. I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner. Now, if you've done these things and it made you feel better and you felt like you did something and God really blessed you for it, I'm not knocking you. I'm just telling you there is more going on here than a written sinner's prayer or repetition of what somebody's telling you to say. There is a word of God that gives us instruction for what God wants us to do in order to really please God. It's not your works. It's not my works. It's a work of faith. And we hear it all the time, faith alone. But faith alone without works is not faith. Paul said faith and works. And you can put down works all you want to, but Paul emphasized in his writing that some people don't want to hear that if you're going to have faith, you're going to do something. Hallelujah. No, I don't want to hear that. Jesus did it all. Please, we're not fighting anybody. We're not in competition with any other church group. There's only one church. And the only one that there is the one that's teaching the truth. Somebody asked me, do you think your church is the only one that's right? I want to give you the answer I gave them. Please try to understand me. If you're asleep, wake up right now. Don't you go and lie on me and tell people I said something I didn't say here. Wake up. Hear these words. Is this church that you're preaching in, that you're part of, is this the only church that's right? And my answer was, absolutely. And it stunned that person. You mean this little group right here? I said, no. I mean this church, worldwide, that's been going on for 2,000 years, preaching the truth, is the only one that's right. And that's what we're part of. And we're right. We're right. And anything that's not in the Word of God, that is not giving you the Scriptures, and does not have the harmony of the Word from beginning to end, to back up what's being proclaimed, needs to get aligned into the truth, get adjusted, come into harmony with what God wants of our lives. Otherwise, we're doomed and we're not saved. You can claim salvation and drink all the booze you want and cuss all you want to and run wild, but that's not your salvation. When you want to be saved, you start despising the ways of the world. You hate the ways of the world. You separate from the world. You repent unto God and say, God, help me. It's through your grace and mercy that you have provided a plan where I could be set free from sin. If it were not for your cross, if it were not for your blood, there would be no hope for me. Then you go seeking for a church that makes some noise. Find some people that want to praise the Lord. Find some testimonies that say, I've been delivered. I was a sinner, but I've been set free. No longer do the chains of darkness bind me. This little old spineless, I can't live for God. Gospel that finally gives up and says, well, we all have to sin more or less every day. That dog won't hunt. He that sinneth is of the devil. Did I say that or did I get that out of this book? He that sinneth is of the devil. That word sinneth means continues to sin. Now all have sinned. But if you're going to stand up here and say I'm still sinning, then you're of the devil. According to this. And if you're the devil, you're not saved. You can't be of the devil and be saved at the same time. But you can be delivered because of the mercy of God, because of the grace of God, because of the love of God, because of the hope that's in Christ. You can be delivered from the devil. Hallelujah. Don't you love truth? Don't you love truth? Hallelujah. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come, except there come a falling away first. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A lot of people are trying to look for the man of sin somewhere. When's he going to appear? And you got all this speculation, all this debate, and you got people looking at Revelation, searching scriptures, writing books and commentaries and comparing notes and trying to figure out, is it this one, is it that one? Let me tell you something. Man is generally in sin and of sin. And you might as well just get your mind off of who it's going to be out there somewhere and who is going to be the one that, you know, does all this stuff to the world in the end time. You just need to make sure that during your time, that you get the man of sin off your back. Make sure that you're not a man of sin. Thank you, Jesus. Because if we don't get that settled, it's not going to matter what anything else appears to be in the future, because you will still be messed up. Amen. So maybe that first thing that needs to happen right now is the man of sin that needs to be revealed to you is the fact that you are a sinner. I'm not pointing that to anybody, and it's not true about you unless it is. Amen. But when you've got that spirit that's not of Christ trying to manipulate your life, verse 4 kind of explains how it operates. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, Paul said, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. But there's a lot here I would like to read, but I'm not going to go into the lengthy readings. But it all ends up that it says that people who allow themselves to get deceived because they won't receive a love for the truth. And that's in verse number 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Everybody say strong delusion. It'd be awful to be thinking that you're right when you're wrong and have that happening to you, because God is actually sending it to you because you have gotten so messed up that He's just allowing you to go ahead and believe a lie till you die. It can happen. It can happen. But it doesn't have to happen. Thank God for the John 3:16 words, you know, and whosoever words, you know. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. So even if you're out there somewhere and you've really messed yourself up and you're believing some kind of a lie and it's just got you all goofed up, and even if those delusions are coming from God and they're very strong, believe the Word of God anyhow and overcome all of that simply by being part of the whosoever crowd and start believing in Jesus again. Because when you believe on Him and you call on Him, He is bound to His own word. He will still deliver whosoever will. Get in the whosoever crowd. Call on the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Briefly, let me touch a few little things here in Scripture. Proverbs, the 6th chapter. Everybody, if you've got a Bible, you want to turn to it, you can, or you can just listen. I'm reading it exactly as it is. Proverbs 6. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. We talked about it a few days ago. But these 6 things, I'm in verse 16, Proverbs 6. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to Him. Now notice he uses these 6 things doth the Lord hate. And then he emphasizes a 7th one and he uses the word an abomination to Him. Abomination. He's saying there's 6 things that I want you to know I hate. And I want to include a 7th one because this is an abomination to God. And all 6 of those others are an abomination too. But he emphasizes this 7th thing. So, the 6th thing the Lord hates, and yea, 7 are an abomination to Him. Everybody say a proud look. God hates that. A lying tongue. God hates that. Hands that shed innocent blood. God hates that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. God hates that. Feet that be swift in running into mischief. God hates that. A false witness that speaketh lies. God hates that. And yea, 7 is an abomination. And here it is. He that soweth discord among brethren. That's an abomination to God. So if you plant yourself in a church of truth and you try to teach something contrary to the truth, that's discord and it's an abomination to God. We have clear instructions in the Word of God what to do with such a one. The Bible tells us to mark them and avoid them, turn away from them, get them out of the way, and preach the Word of God. Turn them over to God. Turn them over to whatever they have to be turned over to so that the Word of God will prevail and people who need God and want God will not be hindered by some strange doctrine that doesn't want to hear true doctrine. It is. We've had that happen over and over through the years and it doesn't faze us because we know where the truth is. But yet our hearts go out to those who deceive themselves. Who deceive themselves. Because in deceiving themselves, they go to and fro trying to convince others. All you got to do. This is all you got to do. It's like we got a house full of flies today. I think they hatched out yesterday in here. And there's just flies all over this building. And once in a while, they get right in your face. They can't hurt you, but they sure do annoy you. You just want to get a flashlight and go, psh, you know. And that's kind of what this is, this false doctrine that gives you an incompleteness with no finality to it. It leaves you up in the air. It leaves you going, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Him, glory, glory, glory. But when you come down, there's no foundation. It's sand. That's why so many people seem to live for God for a while and they fade away. They keep coming back and wanting to try, but all they get is a partial gospel. They get a partial gospel because the good news is what they want everybody to hear. What does that do? It causes people to give offerings. It causes people to give money. And if you give them something that's strong, they may withdraw their tithes and their offerings. And they may cause their kinfolks to do the same. Or they may want to vote the preacher out. Thank God we don't have a board. We don't have a trustee board. We don't own a big old block of church buildings. And we're not afraid of any devil that wants to stick his head up in here because you can cast us out and we'll start again under a shade tree the next day. With the same truth. And it'll set you free from sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Titus 15. unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So don't come up in here with this thing saying there's no works involved. This is the Word of God, talking about people who profess to know God and they don't do any works, and by their works they're professing they don't even know Him. I don't have to do what they did in Pentecost to be saved. I don't have to listen to doctrine. I will not be taught. I had a man just this week point his finger in my face and said to me, right here in this church building, what you're preaching is a lie from hell. I said, it's the apostles' doctrine. Open my Bible. And the same man said, it's all a lie. All you got to do is believe on the blood of Jesus. Well, how do you, you know, he's not arguing with me. That's God. We need to be careful. We point our finger to what's written in this book and say, that's a lie. I'd swat him with this mic, but it cost over $2,000. Hit him with the word. Now, I'm not against that person. We've had many people, so I'm not even going to say who it was. We've had many people say those very same things. I had a man up in Canada say the same thing. He even went as far as to say the Acts of the Apostles needs to be torn out of the Bible because it's full of lies. That's what the man up in Canada said. My friend locally didn't say quite that strong, but he's strong enough. But when I replied, it takes more than believing that Jesus shed his blood to save your soul, that demon driving my friend spoke out and said, I cannot believe you actually said the blood of Jesus is not necessary in salvation. I didn't say that. That's what that old devil does. It tries to turn the blame around. Right after the devil says, that word in that Bible is a lie, and I come out with the truth, and now he's accusing me of saying the blood of Jesus cannot save you. No! That's not what I said. I've already said over and over, if it were not for the blood of Jesus, we could not be saved. It's the mercy and the grace and the blood that was shed that causes us to be able to say, Jesus, help me. I am a sinner. I'm unclean. Cleanse me. Set me free. Help me. Purify me. Make me holy. Lift me up from where I've been. Establish me on a firm foundation. If we're just going to believe he was crucified and not do anything else, that's what I was saying and am saying. It takes more than that, but tradition has presented so many times to all of us. All you got to do is believe it happened. And that's why there's so many sinners going around claiming to be Christians and showing a bad example because they can't live for God. They don't have the power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in the uttermost parts of the world. We're not going to get that kind of power if we settle for something less than what God has provided that has that power. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Briefly, I'm trying to finish. In Romans, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving unto themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, you can read into that anything you want to, but you better be careful when you start changing what you're supposed to be that God made you to be. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, God says, have it your way. Think it your way. Get it your way. Be lost if that's your choice, and I will let you do it. Go ahead and stay confused. I'm still going to have a people for my name's sake who will believe my word and act upon it. Let's wave and praise the Lord. Wave our hands and praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And it goes on, that little part there. I'll just finish that little part here. He gives them over to a reprobate mind, say, these people being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. We've got a young lady in this church who needs our attention in prayer, because this very spirit is after her right now, and we need to rebuke that and go after her in our war prayer and keep it from happening. Praise God, because this lady wants God with all her heart. Amen. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And we have new people that are not present today who have been influenced by this ministry and by others associated with this ministry, who are preaching another gospel that's not a gospel. They're not here today after having said, preacher, preach to me, teach me, show me what God wants for me. Whatever it takes, I will serve Him. Where are they? They're listening to the whisper. They're listening to the backbiting. But there's going to be a people here for His name's sake. We're not just going only after the people that come out of Pines. God has sent us into the whole world to preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody's going to get saved, and it's going to be real salvation. Stand to your feet and praise God. Real salvation. Thank you, Jesus. And we want everybody out there at the Pines to get saved. That's why we were out there today, shaking hands, praising God. At the same time we were doing that, there was another spirit going equally parallel to us, teaching another gospel. That's not going to slow this down. This is still the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were still able to take the hands of some people and say, God loves you, and hear them say, I'll be coming to that church as soon as I get out of this place. They may get sidetracked a little bit, but nothing's going to satisfy their soul till they get it filled with truth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It is, please bear in mind. They say 5 minutes and I'll let you, and we'll get back up. 5 minutes. I just looked at the clock. Please bear in mind, when I talk plain, talking as a minister on behalf of God, the Word of God. And if I said something here that kind of made you think, ooh, what's going on here? It's not a personal issue. This man right here, we will not go into details. Ain't nobody in this world that I love more than this man. But he had to come face to face with truth one day, didn't you, Brother Chief? He had to come face to face with truth. He was trying to serve God. I baptized him some 7 years ago or so. Trying to serve God. But trying to serve God based on what he knew and what others were telling him. It wasn't working, was it? It wasn't working. Getting a part truth over here. He wanted to love everyone. He's a kind man. This is a kind man. He loves people. He loves to help people. He loves to work with people. But it wasn't working for him. It wasn't working. The only thing that's ever worked for that man is when he finally would yield to the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And that's why he's strong today, victorious today. He's no longer showing up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sloppy, drunk, and begging me to pray so he can serve God. He don't know why he's doing what he's doing. Because that partial gospel leaves you in that kind of a situation. But the whole truth helps you to overcome these things. It helps you to get above these things. It helps you to know you've got a real God with real power and a true foundation and a house that's not built on sand. That's not a personal issue. Thank God I even threw him out of the church one time. I didn't hate him. He was just getting on my nerves. You know, you can only go around those same old circles so many times. So many times. But I loved him. And I apologized later. I shouldn't have done that, Brother Tim. I shouldn't have done it. I was walking down the road one day and I felt the presence of God in here. And I felt to run upstairs. And when I ran upstairs, he was at the door. And I grabbed him. I said, get in here. Because God wants him. God wants anybody that I may refer to as being guilty of possibly whispering or this or that. It's spirits that we're up against. We're not talking about people. We're talking about these spirits. They want to destroy our brothers and our friends and those that we love. I love everybody that's ever attended, everyone that's ever attended this church in the past several weeks. Anytime they've ever come here, I love them now. And there's not one of them that's not here that we don't want to be here. We want every one of them to be here, but we will not put up with that. You don't have to believe God in this area of the Bible. Because, see, you got to have a clear sound coming from this church. We can't have a debate going on every time we sing or preach or testify. Can't have it. There has to be one that says, here's the trumpet. This is the sound. This is the truth. And everybody else has to just say, thank you, Jesus. You don't have to agree with me. Got a man here showed up. I went and picked him up yesterday. He does not see what I see. We got several go here don't see what I see. I can't, you know, call somebody blind. Are we going to spit on them, kick them around, beat them up? No. You know, I picked him up, brought him here, had a good time. As far as I'm concerned, my brother that I picked up and brought here yesterday, he can come here for as long as I live and never see what I see and never fully agree with what I preach. He's never stated that he doesn't. But I know from his background that he knows that there's something here that he's missing. But he's got such a beautiful spirit. Got such a beautiful spirit. And you know what? People who can submit to the Word of God, regardless of where they are, if they just believe I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and they've been blessed and they feel like they're saved, hey, look, as long as you don't try to push that on somebody and force somebody and cause division and havoc and try to cause people to get all upset and confused, hey, you can come here and enjoy blessing and praising God for the rest of your life and nobody's going to hurt you. Except some of this word might sting a little bit. But you can praise God anyhow. We'll be your friend. But once you start this, ooh, that's a lie right there. Huh? You're talking about the precious Word of God. And when you start fighting against God, you're in trouble. Not with me. but with God. So that's 1 minute. We're almost through with this 5 minutes. Now let's stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Yeah, right. Okay, just quick verses while you're standing here. In the 2 John, in the King James Version of the Bible, 2 John 1, there's several verses, but I'll just read this one here. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Amen. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Now, so many times I keep hearing, I don't want to hear no doctrine. Sorry. You come to this church, you're going to hear doctrine. And we're going to teach you to abide in it. If you want God in your life, you've got to listen to some doctrine. I told a young man this week, if you can't be taught, you can't be saved. And that's on the authority of the Word of God. And here's what it says concerning those people. If there come any to any of you, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, in other words, it says, God bless you, we love you and what you're doing, keep up the good work. When you do that, you are a partaker, according to the Word of God, of his evil deeds. Put that shoe on if it fits. Let's all come around the front. I'm not saying it fits anybody. I'm just saying if it fits. You know, be like OJ. If it don't fit, you must have quit. Paul said to the church at Galatia, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And in verse 9 he wrote again, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Now you need to let anybody that's doing that be accursed. I didn't accurse them. But if God did, you need to let it be. So if they come and show up, they can come and show up. But if you're up here testifying, don't you handle a mic when you get through, because they're still accursed. If I want them to have the mic, I'll give it to them, but I don't usually hand mics out to devils. So don't take it upon yourself because you feel sorry for somebody. Say, do you want to come up here and say something? No, look, let them be. He that is accursed, let him be accursed. Because in time we hope to see, not because of exalting oneself, but because of learning submission and to be humble and to receive some truth. All that we have worked with at any time, sooner or later, to be working at our side again, praising God in truth and in unity. We don't have no trouble, by the way. Any of you that don't know what's going on here, there ain't no trouble. I'm not talking about any church members. We hadn't had nobody that's a member of this church cause any problem. I'm talking about visitors that come among us sometimes that don't know what's going on, and they have to be instructed. When they can't receive instruction, we treat them just like the kids when they act up, say, hey, go back there and sit by your parents. Be quiet. Be still. We got the floor here. You shut up. We're not going to let the kids take over this church, but we love them, and they can keep coming here. But if they want to be a brat, we're going to do something about it. Amen. Let's praise the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him. If you need something from God, let him break through the barriers. It's early. You got time to just give him your heart. Get your mind off your friends and what you would prefer. Put your mind on what you need from God. Let God bless you. Let God revive you. Let God restore you. Let God fill you with His presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Help us to abide in your truth, Lord. Help us abide in the Word of God. Help us to stay according to your greatness, according to your ability to help us to be what you want us to become. Help us to depend upon your power, not ours, upon your understanding and not our own. Help us to lean upon your provision, the blood that you shed, all that you have provided, all that you've made possible, all your instructions, Lord. Help us to abide by your whole word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. This is 2 Timothy 3. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We've seen that over and over. Then he ends it by saying, but you have fully known my doctrine. I don't want to hear doctrine. You got some of it today. And that's what this church is built on. That's why I'm here. I didn't spend these 23 years to play patty cake. That's right. I didn't spend 23 years to come up here and sit down and play a game of jacks with you. Or croquet. We'll play sometimes. But I'm here on a mission. I'm here on a mission to bring you the Word of God in truth. And as soon as I don't deliver truth, then I'm out of here and I'm on my way to hell. And all these people say you can't get lost. They are lost. They're lying. You can be lost. I don't care how much you believed God in the past, worked for God. If you're not going to serve Him now, you're not serving Him. And at the end, God's going to say, sorry, I never knew you. Let's praise Him one more time. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a word we can say amen to. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Word of God, which is truth. Amen. One more time, let's pray. I can't make you pray, but would you ask the Lord just one more time to help you? If you need some help, praise God. If you really want to be saved, if you want to know God, just call on Him and ask Him for help. Hallelujah. And He can help you. Hallelujah. To receive this Word that He's given you today. Oh, hallelujah. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's good for all of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being our helper today. Hallelujah. Thank you for helping those, Lord, just need your help today to overcome maybe some things they've heard that, Lord, want to meddle with their soul. Thank you for your strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. What a word from God. This is a word that will save your soul. Save all of us if we'll take heed to it. Amen. We got to take it and run with it. Hallelujah. Amen.